today as we come to the table.
See, I have given. Have that underlined. Why? Past tense. The battle has not yet taken place. But I want you guys to know, when God calls us to do a work for Him, the victories are already waiting. All we have to do is walk in obedience, and God will bring them to pass. It is a past tense thing. As a matter of fact, we're going to see all this whole big thing about how to do the battle, the way they're supposed to do the battle, and then do this and do that. And it gives two verses to the overthrow of Jericho. Two verses. All this is going to talk about the preparation and all they did leading up to it. Two verses, the overthrow. Why? Because it's done. The victory's won. We just have to be obedient to do what God has asked us to do.
God has already won the battle. What an encouraging truth. We often worry about the future, but isn't it amazing that the future is as sure as the past to God? It's a done deal. We will have heartache and troubles in this life, but we don't have to worry. We can be encouraged that God has won the final victory. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you that God has won the battle in your life. You may face pain and tribulation in life, but you have the ultimate victory over sin and death. You have been saved through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is trust in His goodness and walk in the victory that God has given you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Great to be with you guys. Great portion of scripture to be in. And let's pray. We'll ask God's anointing on it, God's blessing, and then we'll give a little background and jump into it. Great stuff. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. It is so powerful, so strong, and so rich. It applies to our lives right now. And to think something, Lord, that happened thousands of years ago could be so applicable today. It just shows me that your word is timeless. It's outside of time. And I thank you for sending it in to time so that we can learn about you. And I thank you for the promises that you made to Israel, that you've made to us as your children, the truths that you show us. If we'll simply believe your word and obey it, what a blessed life we have. And so, Father, I pray you would just now pour out your spirit on us. You would feed your people. God, encourage your people. Build them up for your name's sake, that your church may be strong and beautiful for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said last week, you remember we ended with the commander of the Lord's army showing up to Joshua, and I love it because you see this man standing there with a sword drawn, and Joshua says, "Are you for us or them?" And he says, "No." I love that. Just stop everything. It's not about you or them. You need to be on my side. I'm the commander of the Lord's army, and you're my servants, and if you'll obey me, then I'll use you as the commander of my army. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, but you can be a part of it if you'll obey, and that's how it is for us today. If we will obey, we will be a part of what God does. If we don't obey, we won't be a part of it, but God will do what He's going to do. We ended there, and this is where they're getting ready to head into Jericho to destroy the city of Jericho. This is the first city that they came to when God was giving them the land. There's a lot of analogies for us as new believers entering into the promises of God, entering into the land that we're going to see in this, but this is literally the first one they came to, and so that's where we take up in chapter 6. Notice it says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." So they made sure all the doors were latched and bars and all this. And it doesn't matter how much they latched everything and secured, although they had high walls and thick walls. We now know from excavation it was a very fortified city. Doesn't matter, you know, when he's the one that's doing the battle. Doesn't matter. There's no giant too big. There's no wall too high. No fortress too strong for the Lord. He can conquer all things. And this is an important thing for us to learn because the Lord is specifically going to point out in this very first city they conquer that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That is, I'm going to be the one to do this. You can't take any credit for it. It's going to be me. It's going to be me only. And so I love this and the way God does it. And the Lord said to Joshua, notice this, "See, I have given." Have that underlined. Why? Past tense. The battle has not yet taken place. But I want you guys to know, when God calls us to do a work for him, the victories are already waiting. All we have to do is walk in obedience and God will bring them to pass. It is a past tense thing. As a matter of fact, we're going to see all this whole big thing about how to do the battle, the way they're supposed to do the battle, and then do this and do that. And it gives two verses to the overthrow of Jericho. Two verses. All this is going to talk about the preparation and all they did leading up to it. Two verses, the overthrow. Why? Because it's done. The victory's won. We just have to be obedient to do what God has asked us to do so that he can do it his way and he can get the glory and we can see that it's by his might, not our might. And then God will give the victory. I think for us so often, we try to make it happen. I do. I hate that. I try to make things happen. And I do think there's a place for us to do our part. We have to do our part in certain things. I recognize that. And we'll talk about that more. But God is the one who does this. It is his battle. It is past tense. The Bible says he's put all these good works out before us. We're supposed to just walk in them. That gives such peace. When you finally come to the place where you recognize that it's all done, just walk in it, then you can rest. He says, I've given Jericho into your hand. Its king and its mighty men of valor. It's a done deal, but here's what I want you to do so that I can do it. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. So one time around each day, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now look at this battle plan. Again, Jericho was probably around 9 acres on the inside. So it would probably take about 30 to 45 minutes to walk around the ancient city of Jericho. So it wouldn't have been a long walk, 30 to 45 minutes, but every day, here's these, you know, I guess all 2 million plus. I don't know if they had just the leaders of the armies. It doesn't break it down specifically, but it would have been a massive crowd walking in this big circle around Jericho and everybody on the inside watching going, you know, first of all, think about, you know, Joshua going back to tell them the battle plan. So what'd God say? Here's what we do. We're going to walk around the city once a day for 6 days. 7 days, we're going to walk around 7 times. We're going to blow trumpets and all the walls are going to collapse. Now, if they hadn't just seen the Jordan River stop up and God's power and glory through Joshua, they probably would have said, new commander, please. Could we have somebody else with a battle plan, right? We're going to march around it. We're all going to shout and the walls are going to fall down. I mean, it sounds like a nice, good kid story, but what's the reality? But they'd seen God's power and they recognized God's power. And God wanted them to learn to walk in faith. And God wanted to make sure that he got all the glory and that none of it went to man. Not man's ingenuity. He's like, how did you conquer Jericho? Well, we studied for years and we walked around it in circles. And after we walked around it for circles with great study and great counsel, we yelled and the walls collapsed. Wow, you guys are geniuses, you know. No, we just did what God said. He'd already given it to us. We obeyed on our part and God made the walls fall down. For some of you, that's all God's waiting on. You've got walls that need to fall. But rather than simply walking in obedience, you're making excuses. Or you're trying to come up with a better plan or some way that it's more intellectual or whatever. God, you know, when it comes to the Lord, I love the fact that he just says, look, it's my power that does it. Simply obey me and I'll do what I said I'm going to do. God is a great God and he does great things. And so he's laying this plan out so that nobody could ever give Joshua the credit. Wow, Joshua, how did you get such a great army? And how did you bring them in for that first major victory and take the land and all? You must have been a genius. Like, no. Matter of fact, when I tell you what happened, you're going to think it's silly and probably laugh at me. You won't, might not even believe me, but here's what we did. We came in and, you know, the Lord said, walk around the city and the whole story. Imagine what that was like. God did that on purpose. You know, the Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's why I'm up here. Now, that's not false humility. I'm not trying to sound like, wow, these are really falsely humble. I've really learned to realize that. I know that I'm not the brightest, smartest, sharpest, you know, tack on the bulletin board. But if I'll just obey the Lord, he'll take even somebody like me. You know, sometimes just hair's goofy or says something dumb or whatever. And God says, it's not about you, Mark. I love you, but don't get me wrong. It's not about you. It's about me and my church. You belong to him. You're the bride. I'm to keep my hands off. I can't take any credit for what God does in your life or in my life or anybody else's life. I can't take credit for what God does on this property or in any ministry that he does here. It's God that does it. And we have to come to that place to understand that. And when we do, that's when God can do greater things. When God sees a man or a woman that will truly say, I recognize that it's you, you know, and really just let God do it, that's when God can do great things. And I'm convinced that the reason God has not done greater things through me is because I haven't allowed him to. And it's not that I'm fighting him. It's just I haven't quite matured enough to know how to truly let him flow through me like he wants, where I can truly stay out of the way. Because anytime something begins to happen, too much of Mark comes in there. And I'm learning more, and I'm afraid by the time I'm probably like 90 or 100, if I make it that far, he'll be like, oh, I've got it now, Lord, I've got it. Ugh, you know, and I'll die. Oh, if you'd have made it one more year, we could have done great things in Knoxville, Mark. Oh, okay. Lord, bring somebody along that's quicker than I am. I've always been a late bloomer and a late learner. You know, it's like everything. I always was. I always the last one in the class to get everything and whatever this and all. Maybe it's because I was goofing off all the time, but either way, it seems like even now in the body of Christ, I'm the last one to get it. But God says, I'm going to take people like you, Mark, and put you up front. What are you talking about? Because everybody's going to know that it's me. They're going to recognize. You know, when they see you and they see, they're going to know it's me. That's a blessing because it takes the pressure off. We just simply have to obey and do what he says. So he gives them the battle plan. And notice here, Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So again, this is all going to be in God's power. Now, by the way, let me just mention this. No doubt if Joshua had gone to seek some of the smartest people about battle, they would have said, you can't do this plan. This is dumb. Here, you need to do this and do that and do this and do that. If God tells you he's going to do something in your life by his power, trust him in the simplicity of his power. And whenever you say, well, I could never be set free of that, or I could never get free of that, and I'm addicted to that, I need all these specialists and all these classes and all these studies and all these books, there may be some things that can help to some degree out there, but God's power can set you free, absolutely. He's the one that can tear the walls down. But if you go to the world and tell them, I'm trusting in God, they're going to think you're crazy. And they're going to tell you that there's no cure. You can't do this. Oh, yes, God can. That's the point. And that's what he's teaching the children of Israel. When it comes to me, God is saying, I can do anything. And I'm going to show you that by my power, with your hands completely off of it, I'm going to do amazing things and give you victory. And so the armed men, verse 9, went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. So get this picture in your mind. Here they are, this massive crowds of people, maybe 2 million or so, scattered out in that whole vast valley, walking in this big circle. It would have taken more than 35 minutes. You know, but again, that's how long it would have taken of a smaller group, but I'm sure it took longer if the whole group went with them. And they're up on the walls watching this. And I can imagine in Jericho, here they come. Look at them. There's massive crowds. Hold your forces, man. We've got the gates up. Everybody on the walls. Here they come. Get ready. What are they doing? They're walking. What do you mean? They're walking around the wall. That's it? Yes. Well, keep it on them. What are they doing now? They're still walking. I hear something. Yeah, they're blowing these ram's horns. They'll be coming. It's like surround sound. You'll hear them in a minute around back. So keep And every day, here they come, get ready. And you can imagine probably after a few days, I mean, they're probably pretty nervous. Wondering now, either they're nervous or you're thinking they're not going to do anything. I don't know what the response would be. I think it'd be real nervous at first, maybe a little bit relaxed. As all they're just walking around, they're just examining the walls. What are they doing? And so what God was doing psychologically in the people of Jericho, I don't know. But it's interesting here, again, the way that God is giving them the victory in this whole thing is, again, it wasn't that they didn't go to necessarily try to, negotiate with the people. They just continued to walk around the city and trust God. And so Joshua, verse 10, commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say to you, shout, then you will shout. You know, God's been really ministering to me this week in this verse, because this is where one of my weaknesses is. When there's something that I want to get done, sometimes I use my mouth a lot, and a lot more than I should, when God says, learn to be quiet. I'll give you the victory. Just march around the city. Keep marching around the city, and I'll give you the victory. But don't you try to go talk people into things. Your mouth isn't needed in this, Mark. Calm down. This is my battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. You just do what I've asked you to do, and I'll give you the land. And this is what he's telling Joshua. I'll give you the land. I'm the one that called you here to Jericho. I'm the one that gave you this. You don't have to go and negotiate with them. They're not going to negotiate with you anyway because they don't want you to have the land. They live there. They're not going to turn it over to you. You just continue to march around the city and keep quiet. And I guarantee you, every day they marched around, what were they doing? Praying. Probably a couple things happened. I imagine them walking around the city going, how in the world are we ever going to conquer this? I mean, every angle I look at, there's a wall. It seems like we're blocked. At every turn, we're blocked. There's no way in, Lord. Relax. What did I say? You said you gave us the land. Then relax. I'll knock the walls down in my timing. You just continue to walk and pray. Walk and pray. Walk and pray. And when it's time, then they'll be shouting. Then there'll be victory. And you're not going to get any credit for it, Joshua. It wasn't your clever plan. Nobody scaled the walls. You know, it was just me. I love it. This is where we need to learn, especially if we're going to walk in that fullness of God. We've got to learn that God has the power to do anything. And no man or no city or no other entity can stop the work of God. It's just God's timing, faithfulness to wait and walk and let God work. So verse 11, so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, go around it once, and they came back to the camp and lodged in the camp. I can imagine them getting back. So what now? Well, just enjoy your evening, go to bed. Well, we didn't do anything. Just trust me. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bring seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went. They went on continually, and they blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, with the priests continuing to blow the trumpets. So every day they're walking around this armed army, but they're not doing anything. Again, I would think the Jerichoites are getting nervous. The second day they marched around the city once, and they returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day, only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And notice what he emphasizes. Who gave him the city? Not Joshua. Not your great commander leading the people. I'm the one to look to, and my clever plan pulled this together. Nope. Only Jesus, commander of the Lord's army, shout, here we go. And the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. Remember, she's the one that protected the spies. She and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And notice this command he gives her. This is going to come back to haunt them here shortly. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Here is a warning for us. Listen, guys, God wants us to keep our hands off the accursed things of the world. Now, we know what they are, and the Lord will show you what they are. Whatever that thing is in your life you're being tempted toward that you know is an accursed thing. I should have no part in this, and you know you shouldn't have part in it. Maybe you're having part in it now. Well, you need to stop. God says, if you do this, if you have a part of that accursed thing, what happens? You become accursed. It affects your life. It hinders your walk with God. Even as a believer, you grieve the Spirit of God. And it's interesting here. We're going to see that as long as they had the accursed thing, they couldn't move forward in the things of the Lord. He says, you need to abstain from the accursed things, and that is their false gods, their things that they weren't to be a part of. But there's more to it. He says, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. This is the first city you're conquering when you're going in the land. You tithe this to me. You give me the first. You tithe it. This is my city. My gold, my bronze, my iron, God is saying, not because I need it, but you need to learn the principle of tithing. You need to learn to give the first to God. I'm giving you the entire land. Don't worry. You're going to be rewarded greatly. I'm going to make you a great and very wealthy nation. But I want you to learn something right off the bat. If you're going to walk in the promised land, God gets the first. Listen to me, believer. If you're saved and living the wilderness life and you want to walk in the promised land, you've got to learn the principles of walking in the promised land. And one of the principles of walking the promised land, God gets the first. I'm just going to say it. We as believers need to be giving God the first. Why? Because God says, I'm teaching you something. You need to walk by faith. You need to trust me that if you'll give me the first, I will bless you beyond. I'll open up the windows of heaven, so to speak. And so this is the principle that he was teaching them nationally, but there's a personal application here. And I'm telling you, those who walk in the fullness of the Spirit, you've got to obey in everything. If you want to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, it's not just an area here and an area there. If you say, I want to walk in the promised land of God, and I'm going to go in the fullness God has for me, then you've got to find every command God has given you, and you need to obey it. It's not a matter of works. It's a matter of obedience and love to the Lord. And so this is a huge lesson for the children of Israel and a huge lesson for us. God says, this is mine. This city doesn't belong to you. The money, none of it, it's mine. You're tithing this to me. It's consecrated to the Lord. They shall come, all of it shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And again, this would help them to build up their temple and their tabernacle and to basically run the functioning, you would say, of the church if you want a modern day application. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Those who tried to discredit the Bible used to say, now, if the walls collapsed, you couldn't just run straight into the city because you'd have these big piles of rubble. And so right here proves the Bible's not even, they're just writing this and they're making it up. You know what's interesting? When they did the excavations of Jericho, guess what they found? The walls not only fell flat, intact, they went in. They uncovered Jericho and the walls had collapsed into the city flat, which means all they had to do was run straight forward, as God says right here, run right into the city and begin to conquer their enemies. Don't ever doubt God's word. Again, anytime somebody does, the archaeologist Spade always proves them a liar. And God says, let every man be a liar and, you know, God be true. But again, this is exactly what we now know archaeologically happened. And again, it's all been kind of dissolved and broken up over thousands of years. You can't see it probably as clearly now. And those of you that are going to Israel, you get to see Jericho this time. We're actually going to get to go to Jericho and see the city, and you'll see the ruins and all that. But anyway, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who spied out the country, go into the harlot's house from there and bring out the woman and all that she has as you swore to her. Now, how awesome this would have been, because again, remember where she lived? On the wall, that's right. Why is that so important? When everything fell down, that would mean the walls all collapsed. There was one standing. God left one wall standing. That was Rahab's house. Guys, when destruction falls around us, if we're obedient to the Lord, God will make it to where we can stand. God will put a wall of protection around us. And God put a wall of protection around Rahab and around her family because they honored God even when no one else in the city did. I love it. How that must have looked. I doubt anyone stood around going, wow, look, their walls didn't fall. Ugh! You know, I doubt they did that. They probably didn't see it. But I kind of live these things out in my mind. I apologize for that. You know, I'm sure they were running and screaming, so they probably didn't see the wall. But either way. So they destroyed them all. Go in there, verse 23, and the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Even as God said, here's our tithe, the first city conquered. It belongs to you, Lord. Everything, the first goes to you, the first fruits. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy on Jericho. So again, notice that at this time, she was still alive and living among them. And then Joshua, when this was written, that is, then Joshua charged them at that time saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn and with his youngest, he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua and his fame spread throughout all the country.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Joshua here on Come to the Table. This book is home to the well-known story of the walls of Jericho and Rahab the harlot. But what may be less well-known is the Israelites' failure to obey God and completely possess the land promised to them. You see, some Israelites never fully enjoyed the blessing of God's promise because of sin in their lives. It can be the same with us, can't it? Whether it's disobedience, persuasion of worldly things, or a lack of faith, we miss out on God's blessing sometimes. But there's still good news for us. God's character, His faithfulness and promises never change. They're still there, just waiting for us to trust and hold on to. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by visiting our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about.
And if you can find yourself traveling through,
staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Unfortunately, our time must come to an end. but we want to say thank you for listening today. Pastor Mark has more in Joshua on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.